Well, good morning, Metropolitan. If you would stand, let's grab a hymn book and turn to page 506. 506, Blessed Assurance. We're going to sing all three verses. Sing with me. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst in my sight. Angels descending ring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Sing it out. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. Well, Happy New Year. It's good to see you. And, you know, just last Sunday, but it's amazing. It was last year when I saw y'all, and we've been on the road just about ever since. And folks have kept asking us how our trip was, and the trip was fine. It was while we were there, everybody in the house was sick, and we came home sick and feeling better. Or I guess I went sick. Marcia come home sick, but doing a little better. We're looking forward to a great year. I know a lot of folks around the church family are battling the, I just call it the crud, and because it's cruddy. And but it's good to be back, and we're looking forward to what God's going to do for us today. As Miss Maxine said, it's a good way to start the new year, to be in the Lord's house together, worship Him, hopefully hear something from Him to our hearts today. So, that's, you know, I wondered maybe with all the, you know, somebody came, I was going to shake hands with Brother Don, and he said, don't even touch me, preacher, I'm too sick. You know, I guess how we do our greetings today, but let's greet each other. Make sure you greet our visitors as well, church family. Let's do that right now.
All right, if you'll return back to your seats, let's turn over to page 297. 297. Aren't you glad nothing's impossible with our Lord? Amen. Sing it with me.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His Word. Hearken to the voice of God to thee. Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God above and rest upon His Word. For everything, oh everything, yes everything is possible with God.
Let's sing it one more time.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His Word. Hearken to the voice of God to thee. Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest on His Word. For everything, oh everything, yes everything is possible with God.
Amen. Turn over to 150. The reason everything is possible with God is because we serve a risen Savior. Amen. Sing it out.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ, your King. The hope of all who the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Amen. You may be seated. Happy New Year.
Preacher beat me to the punch on the joke. I haven't seen you since last year. Gentlemen, if you'll make your way down here for to get ready to see the morning's offering, and we'll go over a few announcements. Ladies' brunch scheduled for tomorrow will be postponed till next week on Monday. So just 1 week by the number. Turned in your sheets to the preacher, please get that turned in to him. Today, afterwards, immediately after the morning service, or just today's service, should I say, the intermediate and juniors, which is the third, fourth, and fifth grade, and the youth department will be having their Christmas party. You say, after Christmas party? Yes, we do that for a purpose, for a reason, and if they haven't told you why, it's that way. If Aunt Susie gave you a gift that you really don't like, you can give it on to somebody else. And, you know, anyways, besides, they put things on sale after Christmas. See, on the 7th, the youth is going to go ice skating. The cost is going to be $15. And I've had a question. If you don't want to skate, can you go? Yes, you can go and watch, and it won't cost anything to watch. The 21st, Beck and TK is having their wedding shower. He did okie dokie. He got a Home Depot registration there, and yeah, something about Bed Bath and Beyond. I guess you got some neat stuff there, too. Anyway, Thursday on the 26th, the Metro Saints is going to have their first meeting. Say, what is the Metro Saints? I would like to invite everybody who is senior citizens or close to being senior citizens or, yeah, I know, happy birthday to you. I mean, anyway, to join us, and this will be a 11 to 2 thing, and would like to start a monthly get-together. Possibly go do something or have some game. See myself or Miss Sandra or Pastor. Buy the chicken, everybody bring two sides and a dessert. Don't forget to check your mailboxes in back. And we have some missionary car updates on their letters also. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for us today. Thank you for everything you've given us today, Lord. Lord, thank you for giving us one more year. But it's another day that we marked a new year. Lord, thank you, Lord. This could possibly be a way that we can mark new beginnings, Lord. This gives us a starting point. That we can say, Lord, let us do better for you this year. Lord, right now I'm asking to be at the offering about to receive, be at the gift and the giver. And Lord, I'm asking just also the most important reason why we're here is to hear from your word, Lord, to worship you. Lord, be at the preacher today. Give him stamina. Give his voice strength, Lord. And Lord, give him the words you want him to say. But Lord, please prepare our hearts to receive it. Ask these things in your name. Amen.
need to talk to you today. I need to thank you that you came to us and that you came in such a humble way. You came to save our lost and lonely world. No other reason for your birth. And yet so often we forget you on this day. Lord, now there's just one thing I really need to say. I want to give you a special gift. I know it's all I have to give. I want this Christmas to be different than the rest. I know this present will affect the way I live. I want to give you a special gift. To say I love you by what I do. I want to offer back the life you've given me. I want to give myself to you.
Thank you, sister. Always enjoy the flute. And she went from the flute back to singing and never missed a beat there. That was super. Well, I really like our theme, our church theme for 2017. If you didn't notice in the cover of your bulletin, a couple banners around the building, you probably haven't noticed all of them yet. It says, in Christ we can. In Christ we can. And that's based upon the verse there in Philippians 4:13. We'll read that together if you'd stand in reverence to the Word of God. We're looking at a bit of this passage as we go through today's message. See what Paul's talking about when he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Father, we bow before you one more time. We're asking you, Father, to enter in, take absolute, complete charge and control of this service. Father, we surrender. We yield our hearts, our attention to you. We begin this new year with anticipation, expectation, Father, of what the days ahead will bring. Most of all, Father, we anticipate what you might be pleased to do in our lives and through our lives. And Father, even as the words of this feeble theme that we can, we realize that the promise is that we can in Christ. And so, Father, we want to order our steps, our thoughts, our words, all to give you glory, give you honor. Pray, Father, for anyone who may be in our midst today that is yet without Christ. Pray that this might be the tremendous day of their beginning in Christ, their birth in Christ. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your amazing, amazing love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Of course, you may be seated. In Christ, we can. I said, I really like that thing. It's certainly an encouragement. Certainly a positive inducement, if you will, when we consider what is possible. Again, our potential. What is possible because Christ liveth in us. If you're a believer today, if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know Him as your Savior. Christ liveth in you. And He is indeed the hope of our salvation for today and for all eternity. But He is also that which is enables us for every day that we live on this earth planet. I love it every year when, or every, I guess when we get to this point and we begin the new year, holidays are great. Even if you spend them being sick, they're still great. I have a lot of fun and get to spend time with loved ones, with family and friends, and that's terrific. We're so grateful. And of course, the greatest thing about this holiday season that we call Christmas is that we celebrate our Savior. We celebrate Him who made it possible for us to be here even today. Then January 1st rolls around. I've got to make a confession. I'm usually ready for January 1st to arrive. I'm ready for the opportunity to get back to the ongoing ministries of what's going on with the church and so forth. I do well with a routine. I do well with a schedule. I don't know what it is about that. It's just I like having a routine. But on the other hand, I fear that that through getting back into the routine, there's the danger of falling into the rut of the routine. You know what a rut is, right? A rut's nothing but a grave with the ends kicked out. And we don't need to get in a rut. In Christ, beloved, we can. In Christ, we can. Every believer, every Christian needs to learn the lesson of what we can do and what we cannot do. We have to learn what our abilities are and how we're enabled even in those abilities. Two questions as we introduce our subject this morning. And this is one of those messages where we have a kind of a long introduction and a short message. So you deal with that however. But in the first question, what can we do for the Lord in our own ability? Most of you probably understand that according to John chapter 15 and verse 5, it says there, Jesus declares, "For without me, you can do nothing." Without me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. Now that's a hard lesson for most of us. Maybe even harder for us guys. And even that American culture of pulling yourself up by the bootstraps and all that, it's difficult for us. The fact is, God says, not Jim Turner, God says that we have no ability to do anything of eternal value without Him, without the Lord Jesus Christ. You may protest that statement. I may even protest that from my heart of hearts. But let God be true, huh? Let God be true and us own up to our reality that we lie to ourselves. I'm very thankful that's not the end of the story. I'm thankful that's not the end of the story. God, now listen, God wants us. He has created us to do great things for Him. Huh? We're here on this earth planet to do great things for our God. I'm trying to remember just how William Carey put it. But it boils down to this. He says, attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. That's good. That's good. The Bible says, as we would go back there to John chapter 15 and verse 5, I want us to see the entirety of that verse, John 15 verse 5. And again, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me. We'll look at those words more in a moment. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And then comes those words, for without me you can do nothing. We could express it this way. The same bringeth forth much fruit because without me ye can do nothing. Do we hear that? Let it get through the gray matter. Without Christ we can do nothing. We need to let our pride go, our ego go. We need to let it go, let go of the, of all of that thinking that we can handle things. Be mindful of what Paul says. When I am weak, then I'm strong. Our strength comes from recognizing our weakness. And we'll see more about that in a moment. But in John 15, verse 5, who does Jesus say will bring forth much fruit? What's He say? I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me. Those that abide in Christ will bring forth much fruit. Will produce much is the idea in this life. Well, those who abide, what does that mean? Those who abide in Him. Well, that word abide in that verse means to continue. It means to remain. It means to stay there. It's a good word. Those that remain in Christ. Those that continue in Christ. And beloved, I like that King James word. Those that abide. There's something that word communicates. There's something about a security, excuse me, a safety. Hey, even the idea of rest. But when we go with Jesus, He's the one that does the resting. He's the one that does the refreshing. He's the one that will indeed produce much fruit. Well, second question. If that's so, if that indeed is, what can we do? What can we do through the abiding presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? What can we do in Christ? We need to go back to our passage there in Philippians chapter 4 to find out some things. Take a look at the words of the Apostle Paul as he wrote this to the church that was at Philippi. The church that was there in the city of Philippi. And we, as always, as we study the Word of God, and I strongly encourage you, as you study your Bible, to always take in the context of where you're studying. What does the context of the passage teach you? Every false teaching comes out of pulling things out of their biblical context. Whatever that false teaching is. It comes through mishandling of the Word of God. When we look at the context of what Paul's telling the members of that church, if we're going to understand it properly, and we learn here that God will enable us to do whatever and all that He asks us to do. Huh? We learn that God will enable us to do everything and all that He would tell us to do. Hey, what God commands us, He will accomplish through us. I think we can take that to the bank. Interpretation of the passage is simple. Paul essentially writes this letter to thank the Philippian church for sending him an offering to help him with his missionary work, with his work of winning souls and seeing churches planted for the Lord's glory. He's very grateful for that, obviously, and as we'll read. He's very grateful, but he takes this opportunity, as he always does, to teach some biblical principles, to teach some things to help this church at Philippi and you and I, some 2,000 years later, can be benefited as well. Number one, we see the importance of contentment in Christ. And we'll look at that. We also see the importance of the enablement of Christ. His enablement or His empowering. As we read these verses, we come to the obvious conclusion that Paul was just fine with whatever state he found himself in. We read there, and we'll look at this in more detail in a moment, but just looking at verses 10, beginning in verse 10, Philippians chapter 4, it says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." He says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content." Paul goes on, he says, "I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need." Then he makes the statement, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." May. Wow. Wow. We see Paul is happy to go with the Lord in whatever state he may find himself in. Now we could liken this. I think you understand that I'm using this in an illustrative way when I make this statement. We can liken this that Paul was happy to enjoy the Hilton or sleeping in the church storeroom. Whichever was fine with him. Whether to abound or to suffer need. He was thankful that the church there had made it possible for him to abound a bit. I'm sure there were times that Paul needed that extra rest and some extra to strengthening help from others. He was thankful that they made it possible for him to have that opportunity here to have a little abundance in blessing to him. But he was just as happy to go with the rice and beans or the beans and rice. It's okay. What did he say? I've learned. To be content with all things, wherever the Lord would have me. He wasn't bragging on himself. Paul wasn't that way. He wasn't bragging on himself at all. In fact, in other places in Paul's writings, we learn that he was well aware of his weaknesses and his frailties. Even his failings in strength and weakness. Listen, I'll just read this. From 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And again, here's Paul speaking to that church in the city of Corinth. And he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." What was Paul's message? Jesus. He preached Jesus. His death, burial, and resurrection. He says, "I was with you." Now listen to this. "I was with you in weakness. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." He says, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." But here's the point. "But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Where did Paul find his strength? In his ability? In all the education and so forth that he had? No, if anything, his understanding of the things of God, the Word of God, and ministering in the things of God, help him to understand that he, of all men, could do nothing without Christ. In his ability. And he says in verse 5 that the whole point of this, he says that, or in order that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul recognized his frailty. He recognized his weaknesses. He recognized how desperately, if he was going to do anything of value for God, it would be through the strength of Christ. He would strengthen him. The obvious lesson here. Here's where it gets tough. It's a lesson, obviously. Trusting our abilities. Now listen to this. It's a hard one for us to swallow. Trusting our abilities to do for ourselves is dangerous and maybe even damaging. I'm trying to let that process. Trusting your abilities, trusting my abilities to do for ourselves is dangerous. I launch out on my own. Guess what? I'm on my own. That's a dangerous place to be. Self-confidence is fine. We hear a lot of some of the buzzwords of the day in all the quote-unquote Christian mental health world, or talk about it, good having a good self-image and self-confidence and all that. Well, beloved, we need the same image of self that Paul had. Huh? How'd he see himself? Remember how he described himself to his disciple Timothy? The chief of sinners. What kind of a self-image is that, Paul? No. Self-confidence is fine as long as you realize the reality. Now listen. The reality is that God confidence is far more important and far greater. Your confidence in the Lord is what's important. In Christ we can. Those words speak both of the positive, but the other side of that, without Christ we can't. Huh? Without Christ we can't. If you can do anything, I don't know if this makes perfect sense or to you all or just to me. If you can do anything you can do is dependent upon God's gracious enablement through Christ. Paul wants his readers to know that his ability to be content isn't of himself. Be mindful. Paul was raised to be a Pharisee. We understand what the spirit and attitude of many of the Pharisees, or the average Pharisee, was. Pride and arrogance and self-confidence. Paul had to see all that cast away, as we read earlier in this very letter, as dung. He wants his readers to know that his ability to be content in whatever circumstance he found himself came from Christ. Came from Christ. We want to very quickly look at this verse 13 of chapter 4. We actually get to the message now, so you better hope the introduction was the long part. Very quickly put together an amazing message here. We look at the words themselves. First, we see Paul declares, I can do. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The words I can do in the context of the verse refer to ability. That word can refers to ability, what we are able to do. Paul says, I can do. And they mean to be strong. The word himself means to be strong, to have power, to be able to do. Okay, tuck that away. Secondly, Paul says, I can do all things. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The words I can do are kind of meaningless, aren't they? Without something done. What can you do, Paul? Well, he says he can do all things. It's just one word in the Greek and refers to either everything or everything. To all or to individual things. It's interesting that that same word could refer to both. How do we know what Paul's referring to? Well, we look at the context. We look at the context. In our passage, it is referring to everything in our life for God. Everything in our life for God. Paul says, I can do all things. What was the focus? For to me to live is Christ, Paul said earlier. For to me to live. Well, in our passage, in chapter 4, Paul lays out some things that are actually pretty tough to do. I think Paul is laying out in chapter 4, really in the letter itself, the foundation for this declaration, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Very quickly, in verse 1, we find that Paul declares, or he challenges us to stand fast in the Lord. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. Who's Paul talking to? Those believers in that church. He's not talking to lost folks here. He says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Okay, Paul. Think about that, beloved. That's not easy, is it? You and I are challenged every day by the devil, this world, hey, even our own flesh, to compromise. Hey, it won't hurt to give in a little here and a little there. Hey, what difference does it make? The challenge of the Word of God is to stand fast in the Lord. Huh? Beloved, we can. We can stand fast for God through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Secondly, oh my, Church of Philippi wasn't any different than any other church. They had issues there. And then verses 2 and 3, we see that Paul challenges to help the church body to have harmony in the Lord. Look at these two verses. Paul says, I beseech, or I beg, Euodias, and I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. What's he saying? Church, help these ladies. Hey, do what's right in helping them work through these issues, that there would be harmony in the body of Christ. That unity. You know, you may wonder, you don't ever see me singing with the choir or any of the groups around here. There's a good reason for it. Harmony is a beautiful thing. Don't laugh so hard there, Brother David. Harmony is a beautiful thing. Disharmony hurts. Huh? Disharmony is a beautiful thing to the Lord. Harmony, beloved. The harmony in the body of Christ is a beautiful thing to the Lord. And I'm thankful to report we can have harmony. We can have harmony here at Metropolitan through Christ, through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Verse 4, we read that. Next to verse 13, my favorite verse in this chapter. We'll limit it to this chapter. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. The days you don't, are there days, beloved, you don't feel like rejoicing? Huh? Be honest. Huh? I woke up several mornings this week, thought I was going to cough my insides out. Many of you were the same way this week or sometime over the last few weeks. Maybe right now. There's probably folks that are home right now feeling like that. I didn't feel like rejoicing. Huh? I'm just being honest. Paul says, rejoice always. And again I say, rejoice. Why did he say it twice? Because it's important. It's important. But in Christ we can live joyfully. Doesn't mean that every moment of every day we've got a fake smile on our faces and running around praise God, love Jesus. You say, what a terrible thing to say, preacher. You know what I mean by that. Don't make me say, hey, we love the Lord. We love Him because He first loved us. And joy doesn't depend on how my body feels. Huh? Beloved, we can live joyfully in Christ. Who strengthens us? Well, doesn't stop there. Verse 5. Oh my, here's a good one. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. What's he saying? Be mindful of your testimony. Jesus is coming back. Let your moderation be known to all men. Now, Paul's talking about having a proper view, a proper understanding of our life in light of the Savior. Jesus saved me from my sin. Jesus gave me eternal life, cleansed me, forgave me. He's even right now at the right hand of His Father. We understand the Bible. Do you believe the Bible? A couple of you do. Do we believe the Bible? Do we believe then that when the Bible says He's coming again? How then should we be living? We should be living in moderation. Moderation in how many things? In all things, it says. May it be known unto all men. Well, the idea of this word simply means that to living that life in view of our Savior's return. Be careful, beloved. The idea would be that we must be careful of self-exaltation, of a pretentiousness, excessiveness in any way. You know, one danger we don't have is being too excessive for Christ. I haven't got there. But beloved, I'll put it this way. I think we understand in light of what this verse teaches. We can live honorably for God in Christ who strengtheneth us. I want to honor Him. And I want that, hey, I want to honor Him in such a way that it's a testimony to all. Well, hopefully we're getting the point here. Verses 6 and 7. Here, listen to this. Paul goes on, he says, be careful for nothing. Don't be fretting anything. I've been to Georgia, so I picked up the slang. Don't be fretting on things. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. There's that. And how many things? Everything. Every individual, everything. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. What? Through Christ Jesus. Huh? Sure fits to our verse, doesn't it? Through Christ Jesus. We can, beloved, live faithfully peaceful. Does that sound right? We can live faithfully peaceful. I want to live believing God and enjoy His peace. We can live faithfully peaceful in Christ who strengthens us. And how can we do that? By trusting Him. By trusting Him. With everything. Well, verses 8 and 9. We're getting there. Listen to this carefully. Paul writes now and he says, finally, brethren. Typical Baptist preacher says finally and then goes on for a while. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Paul's telling us in this verse what should occupy our thoughts. What should occupy our thoughts? Then verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Well, Paul's telling us in verses 8 and 9 to think and do right. To think right and do right. To think right and to do right. And beloved, I forgive me, but I kind of sum this up as we can live wisely in Christ, which strengtheneth us. We can live wisely in Him, who strengthens us. And then we come to those verses 10 through 12, which we've already dealt with, but I want to read them again. Paul, saying all this, challenging us. Then he says in verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. You wanted to do for me in other times, but you didn't have opportunity. And he goes on, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith, or in that place, to be content. He says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. What a challenge to us. This may be the toughest in the whole chapter. To rest, listen, to rest contentedly in Christ. Huh? Seems like we all, beloved, here's self-confession. It seems like we always want what? A little more. We always want a little more. Oh, I'm so thankful for what God's gave me. And then we get busy trying to get more. And there's nothing wrong with working hard. Don't make me preach the other side of that as well. There's nothing wrong with working hard and taking good care of your family. We know that's a biblical principle as well. But are you content with where you are? Let me word it different. I don't ever want to be content with where I am and what I'm doing for Christ. I always want to do more for Him. I want to strive to do more for Him. But in my personal condition, in my situation, can we find a contentedness that rests in Christ, finds peace in Christ? That's a tough order. As I say, maybe the toughest challenge in these verses. There, at this point, Paul makes that declaration. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Hey, we just cover a few things here. You name whatever the issue, whatever the challenge of life is, the Lord will deal with it. The Lord will take you through it. We can, beloved. We can be content in Christ, which strengtheneth us. We can be content in Christ. I love Him. Don't you? I love Him. What's the key to our ability then? Going back to John 15, what did we learn there in verse 5? Abiding in Christ. Continuing with Him. Resting. I like that word. Abiding gives me that sense of finding rest. Abiding in Him. Continuing. Ultimately, beloved, ultimately it means continuing moment by moment with Christ. Don't get ahead of Him. Don't lag behind. Continue with Him. With Christ. Then the last point. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Through Christ which strengtheneth me. Well, by now, it's easy for us to answer where Paul found his ability, found his power, found his strength. And the obvious answer is Christ. In Jesus. The words of this verse tell us that God is always and continually there to strengthen us and to do for us in Christ. Always. He will give us the power, the ability, the enablement to do everything and all. Listen to that. Everything and all that He asks us to do. It's kind of hard for us to get our, well, I'll speak for Jim Turner. It's hard for me to get my puny brain around that. Because too often, beloved, I see my circumstances, don't I? Can I speak for you? We see our circumstances. And we say, rather than anticipate what God's going to do, we begin to wonder, what am I going to do? Huh? Instead of looking to Christ, we try to figure things out, don't we? How can I fix this? How can I take care of this? Instead of standing back and seeing the mighty power of God on our behalf and what He'd do. Hopefully we see in this chapter that our enablement in God doesn't just apply to being content. No. It applies to everything. In our lives. The application of Paul's teaching. The application of what he's telling us will enable us, will empower us to do whatever and all that he ever asks us to do. Well, what's that mean? Oh, I'm glad you asked that. Because a few months ago I wrote down over 40, almost 50 points from the Scriptures of things God says He'll enable us to do. So we're going to look at that for a while. In Christ, beloved, we can. Well, what can we do? I want to know that. In Christ, we can. Hopefully we understand that it all begins with Christ. It begins with Jesus. And it begins with knowing Him. Every December, I can't tell you what day it was. I wish I could, but I can't tell you what day it was. I celebrate my second birthday, the day that I was born again in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've celebrated, well, a lot of physical birthdays. I've celebrated 42 birthdays in Jesus. And because of Him, we can. Because of Him, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Huh? Are you saved? Do you know this one who will do for you, beginning with saving your soul, giving you eternal life in Himself, forgiving you, cleansing you in His own blood, and enabling you to do anything and everything He'd ask you to do? Let's stand together. Father, we thank You this morning for Jesus. It's January 1st in this year 2017. Father, as we would embark on a new year, we understand that a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day to You. But these markers, these milestones, are signposts in our lives. And so, Father, as we pray this morning at the end of this service, I'm asking You to help us. Help us to enter into this new year with that expectation, with a beautiful anticipation of what You be pleased to do. Lord, as pastor of this wonderful church, I'm expecting You to do amazing things this year. Expecting You, Father, that You're going to be pleased to save souls, to draw precious, precious lives to Yourself. Lord, even as I pray that, I'd ask You that You do for anyone in our midst, even at this moment, that might have a question, a doubt concerning their relationship with You. Father, please, Lord, I beseech You, help them to see Jesus in all of His glory, in all of His grace, in His mercy, in His love. Father, help them to see that Jesus loves them and died for them. Father, I also pray for every believer, every Christian, every member of our church. Lord, I don't want to fall into the rut of routine. I don't want our church to fall into that rut. Lord, I pray that You'd help us with every day to awake and arise with that expectation that our great God, our great Savior, that Jesus Christ will use us in some way to see His glory, His honor, and His kingdom fulfilled. Lord, please, please do beautiful things in our hearts even today. We thank you, Lord. We rejoice in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother John.
Page 155.
Beloved, the altars are open. Might not be a bad idea to start 2017 just doing business with God. Please, obey the Lord and do whatever He'd have you to do. Sing.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
Amen. Amen. In Christ, we can. Amen. Metropolitan Baptist Church should expect God is going to use us for His glory this year. Amen. Amen. Indeed, we're grateful. We don't ever slight what He did for us yesterday. Remember, the children of Israel had to go out and get what? Fresh manna for every day. Might we expect that fresh manna from God each day and every day as we go forward for Him? Amen. Love y'all. Happy New Year.
Amen. Amen.
Real quick, Brother Mark wanted me to announce that he needs the young adults class to meet up front right after the services for just a few moments. All right, this is my story.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Happy New Year.